You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 30th of August 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to take another look at the changing of our language and the effect that that is having, quite a serious effect at actually covering up crimes in some instances. And you really wouldn't think that just from learning where these word changes are occurring. It's like all these things, like when they say a butterfly's wings in one part of the world can start off a hurricane in another. When you change the definitions of words, words that we've had for with the same definition for centuries, it alters everything in society. I mean, the way that we think is through using language, through using words. I mean, obviously, we also imagine images, but if there isn't a word for something, then it's very difficult to actually think it. Yet another National Health Service Trust has been caught erasing mothers in favour of woke birthing people language, as the governing Conservative Party continues to allow far-left ideologues to take over all levels of the state unchecked. And of course, we do get the odd Conservative MP that speaks up about this, but it's all taking place under their watch. And this birthing people language is an attempt to be inclusive, to say that men can have children. Because what you've actually got there is you've got a biological woman who lives as a man, presents herself as a man, but still has functioning female biology. And I guess you also get men that are pretending to be women that then try to lactate. We have men that take various drugs and try to actually produce milk and then try to feed babies with it. What good that will be to the baby, I don't know. I don't know if a male can actually produce all the nutrients that a child needs. I doubt that very much, but we even have things like that happening now. So the NHS is trying to cover all of this and they're excluding mothers who want to be referred to as mothers in order not to exclude this tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the population that are transgender. No amount of negative media coverage or public commentary on Britain's socialised health service appeasing far-left gender identity activists by erasing mothers, women and so on in favour of terms like birthing people and people with cervixes seems to be able to hold back its continued spread, with the NHS Norfolk and Suffolk Foundation Trust becoming the latest arm of the service to push them. And before this we heard about chest feeding, which I believe was being used in the NHS Brighton Trust. Our team are developing a perinatal voices partnership networking group for birthing people who have had experience of using perinatal mental health services within Norfolk and Waveney, the trust boasted in a social media post first reported by Mail Online. And as I say, people will look at that, and most people will look at that, and they won't really realise quite what this is doing, that it's erasing the word mother from the English language, and quite what the consequences of that are going to be. A brief search of the government-funded healthcare provider's account on Twitter revealed at least four uses of the birthing people terminology dating back to February the 1st. In addition to the Perinatal Voices partnership, the Trust also has a Lotus team which offers support to birthing people who have experienced trauma or loss, and that it understands being part of the LGBTQIA+ community can make the journey to becoming a parent more challenging. And it seems quite arrogant of them to stick the T in there when the LGB seems to be trying to distance itself from the T, because they're being told that for instance lesbians should find biological men dressed up as women attractive, and if they don't, they get accused of being transphobic. They seem to have trying to change the meaning of the word homosexual to meaning homogender, I guess, and then trying to divorce gender from actually what sex somebody is. The Trust's tweets about the Lotus team were decorated with the latest iteration of the Palestine Progress Pride flag, including the transgender colours, black and brown stripes for ethnic minorities, and a logo for intersex people, more commonly referred to as hermaphrodites. And I do wonder if the poor people that are hermaphrodites, if they really want to be linked with the LGB community, with the gay community. Do ethnic minorities want to be linked with the gay community? A lot of ethnic minorities are very much against homosexualism, particularly if you look at some of the ethnic minorities in Africa. If you consider Muslims to be an ethnic minority, and yet they've been put here together all together on this flag as if they're all equal, that they're all the oppressed. This is the flag that the oppressed peoples can unite under against white people. I mean, it's basically setting up parts of a multicultural society in opposition to other parts of the society. And of course, if you don't agree with this, if you say that you don't agree with this promotion of homosexualism, this totalitarian promotion of it, then you'll be accused of hate speech. And we have the so-called rebels, the Antifa, the left, that are supporting this. They're supporting the same thing that you see banks now promoting. The Halifax Bank in particular has this flag, this progress gay pride flag with all the oppressed symbols on it. They have that flying in their banks, literally taking up the space where the cashiers should be. They literally have huge gay pride flags. And of course, we all know of the police with their rainbow badges dancing at gay pride. So you have the so-called resistance to the government that are basically supporting the same thing as the banks and the police and the government, and yet they still think they are the alternative. And what about these poor hermaphrodites there? I mean, do they really want to be linked up with this? I mean, it must be a horrific way to be, to end up having both genders, genitalia. I think in most instances, it's females that they end up with almost having testicles growing inside them, which ends up giving them more testosterone. But it doesn't mean that they are going to be homosexual at all. It just means that they've got a little bit more testosterone and they have to be balanced out with hormones. Do they really want to be seen as part of the oppressed? I'm not so sure they do. And they only make up a very, very, very tiny percentage of the population, and yet they get referred to as, oh, well, this, you do get transgender in nature because you get hermaphrodites. At its worst, the National Health Service's embrace of hardline gender ideology impacts not only normal language, but has proved physically dangerous to women, with one hospital actively covering up a rape by a trans woman on what was supposed to be a single-sex ward, despite having CCTV evidence to the contrary, arguing that the rape could not have happened as there was no male in the hospital. So this is the result of this changing of the language. Because they can't say that a trans woman is a man, a rape could not have happened in the hospital. And we see the same thing that's happening in the prisons. They will say that a rape couldn't have taken place in a prison, even though it did, because there was a biological male in there that was presenting as a trans woman. And we also have the statistics now being skewed, claiming that women can actually be capable of rape. So the rape statistics are getting messed up by this, because biological men cannot change into biological women. All they can do is present themselves as a woman. They can make cosmetic changes, they can make bodily modification, but they cannot actually become a woman. So we actually have horrific violent crimes happening, like rape, that are actually being hidden because we've changed the definition of the word woman. I mean, this hospital was doing this for about a year. They covered this rape up. Baroness Emma Nicholson of Winterbourne, speaking on the incident in the House of Lords this March, revealed that it took almost a year for the unnamed hospital to admit the truth. You imagine how difficult that must have been for the victim. Let's take a closer look at what happened here. It took place earlier this year in March, or when we found out about it. A National Health Service hospital in Britain told police that the rape of a woman on one of their supposedly single-sex wards by a trans patient could not have happened, as there was no male at the scene. The attack took place in 2021 and was initially denied by hospital bosses, despite CCTV evidence, who insisted that the rape could not have happened as there was no male in the hospital. So you got the woman saying, "I was raped, here is the CCTV of that," and the hospital is saying that that can't have happened, only males can rape, and this was a woman, because it was a man that was wearing makeup, I guess, and wearing a wig. Technically, the Sexual Offences Act of 2003 stipulates that a person A commits an offence of rape if he intentionally penetrates the vagina, anus, or mouth of another person B with his penis. B does not consent to the penetration, and A does not reasonably believe that B consents. Although a biologically male trans woman with intact genitalia is, of course, perfectly capable of perpetrating the same deeds. So really, I mean, even if it is a trans woman, if they have a penis, they still should be classed as being a rapist if they have carried out a rape. And yet this hospital claimed different. After the victim reported the attack, which took place on what was supposed to be a single-sex ward, to the police officers who contacted the unnamed hospital, they were informed that there was no male in the hospital, therefore the rape could not have happened. While it is unclear as of the time of publication if there have been any arrests, the police are reportedly carrying out an investigation into the rape, despite this false witness statement from the hospital. The case has since been discussed in the British Parliament's House of Lords during a debate on single-sex wards, with Baroness Emma Nicholson of Winterbourne railing against the anonymous hospital. "It has taken nearly a year for the hospital to agree that there was a male on the ward, and yes, this rape happened," Nicholson said. "During that year, the victim has almost come to the edge of a nervous breakdown, because being disbelieved about being raped in hospital has been such an appalling shock. The hospital, with all its CCTV, has had to admit that the rape happened and that it was committed by a man," Nicholson asserted as she lambasted hospital staff. I bet she did have a nervous breakdown being told that it didn't happen. It's like everybody is neurotic nowadays, because we're being told that black is white and two doesn't equal four, it equals five. We're being told that obvious biological men are actually women. We're not being told, oh, well, you should be courteous to them if they want to be referred to as a woman. We're being told that, oh, they are actually women. The definition of woman is no longer linked to biology. It's just linked to how somebody feels that day. Speaking about it, British actor turned political pundit and Reclaim Party leader, who seems to have become a bit of a spokesman for these issues, Lawrence Fox, condemned the hospital's response to the attack. "Once society breaks down to such an extent that objective reality means nothing, these vile events will escalate exponentially. We must come together to protect women and attack the woke cultural revolution that seeks to remove all the rights brave women who came before fought for." And things are escalating exponentially. They start off promoting transgenders, and that moves into drag queens. Drag queens then start reading to children in libraries. Children then start dressing up as drag queens. Children then start dancing in gay clubs for homosexuals to throw money at them as if they are adult entertainers. And we have drag queens going into these libraries saying, "We are going in there because we want to provide positive role models for children, positive role models for toddlers, an adult entertainer. Is that a positive role model for a toddler? Would a parent want to, strippers, say, to go into schools to be seen as positive role models for heterosexual children? It's just sexualizing the children. And having children wearing makeup, I mean, makeup is sexualized. The point of wearing makeup is to imitate the time of the month when a woman is most fertile and her cheeks will redden and her lips will redden. And this is the reason why women wear makeup, because it makes them look more attractive to men. Children wearing makeup dressed up as drag queens, and men that want to see that, obviously the men are attracted to children. I mean, it's absolutely twisted what's going on with children wearing makeup and being called drag kids. I mean, it's sexualizing them without them having any idea what's actually going on. It's the same as when you see these children waving gay pride flags at school. They've got no idea of what they're actually expressing support for. Fox also added, our foundational institutions are all infected with this repellent ideology. All the state institutions are indoctrinating their staff there with diversity training, talking to them about how they have to be careful with their language, they have to be inclusive. And by being inclusive, they mean excluding everybody that identifies as a biological male or a biological female. You have to use these terms like birthing people. It all goes back to this idea that you should never discriminate. And it's all about discrimination. That's how we learn about things. You discriminate between something which is good and bad, and you discriminate between one object and another object. And the more you discriminate, the more you're basically learning about the differences between things. And it's only by learning about the differences between things that we have any knowledge at all. I mean, everything would just be the same. That's where equality leads to, everything being exactly the same, no difference between anything, and no knowledge at all. It's like we're losing everything that we have learned about life and the natural world and about people. We're just losing it all in this big push to be inclusive, which just ends up excluding everybody, and this big drive for equality, which is now turned into equity, the same outcome for everyone, which hardly gives any encouragement to succeed or to exceed. I mean, that is just communism, isn't it? The same outcome for everyone. There's no incentive there to be the very best. I mean, all of this is linked in with this communist ideology, and yet you have the Conservative Party in power over this. Baroness Nicholson has also accused the NHS of giving priority to trans people over women and undermining the dignity, privacy and safety of biologically female patients through their Annex B policy. And they're everywhere, they're giving priority to trans people by changing language, aren't they? They're saying because we have this tiny percentage of the population who have gender dysphoria, we're going to have to change all of our language to please them and force everybody to pretend that they actually are the gender that they wish they were. And instead of doing that, we should be encouraging them to actually be happy in their bodies. And we should be trying to enforce these gender differences, trying to get people to identify with their gender at an earliest age possible, rather than trying to get people to be gender neutral from being young children. We hear of parents now that are raising their children to be gender neutral. I mean, that is just going to confuse them. Whether you're a little boy or a little girl, you learn, while you are a little boy or a little girl, you learn about what is expected of you when you grow into a man or when you grow into a woman. And those formative years are very important. And if you're teaching the child to be both, then they're not going to be very good at either, are they, by the time they get to be an adult? They should be learning all these things to do with their gender. They should be taught the difference between their gender and the other gender, and all the things that make them different, and what's good about those things that make them different in schools. Instead of doing activities that both the girls and the boys can do, they should be doing activities for the boys that the girls can't do, so that the boys are happy being boys, they should be doing activities for the girls that the boys can't do or wouldn't be interested in, so that the girls become happy being girls, instead of this gender-neutral idea where the activities have to be able to be done by both of them, and then you end up with them not really, you know, looking at the other gender and thinking, well, mate, I wish I was this other gender. What's the difference between all of this? This policy, that's the Annex B policy, cites the 2010 Equality Act to support their current decision-making process in determining what single-sex ward a transgender person should be placed upon, insisting that the decision must be made according to the presentation, the way they dress, and the name and pronouns they currently use, and not their physical sex appearance of the chest or genitalia, and regardless of whether they have legally transitioned or not. Well, the sensible thing to do in that situation, I would suggest, is to give them a room of their own, which is possible. They can do that at the hospital. Surely that would be safer than putting biological males in wards full of women. I mean, that is likely to cause problems, isn't it? Surely you could just give them a room of their own. But instead of doing that, they are giving priority to trans people over women and putting trans people in women's prisons and putting them in women's wards. The policy also highlights that trans men and non-binary individuals can become pregnant and should be treated with dignity while using maternity services. Of course, everybody should be treated with dignity, but that doesn't mean that you should have to change the language for them to appease them and force everybody else to change their language as well. And you can be courteous and try to be courteous to them, but they shouldn't be changing the official guidance that's given to erase mothers from it and use birthing people instead. They say where admission triage staff are unsure of a person's gender, they should, where possible, ask discreetly where the person would be most comfortably accommodated. They should then comply with the patient's preference immediately. Well, that could insult somebody as well if you ask them whether they are identifying as a male or as a female. Surely people should just be identified by what their biology is at first. Identify by what it says on their birth certificate, what it says on their NHS details. If they're biologically male or biologically female, then as far as medicine is concerned, they should be treated according to their biological gender. And you're not going to be doing cervical smears on somebody who's biologically male, are you? Nicholson went on to highlight the Orwellian nature of this policy, explaining that the result of Annex B is that hospital trusts inform ward sisters and nurses that if there is a male as a trans person in a female ward, and a female patient or anyone complains, they must be told that is not true. There is no male there. So that's the reason why they said there was no male there when this woman got raped. Anybody else that had a problem with this biological male there would have been told there is no male there. I mean, you can just imagine it, can't you? What a biological male could be doing with that? Someone with a wicked mind could be abusing all the women in there and then just sitting back and laughing as the staff say, well, there's no male there. We haven't seen that happen. We haven't seen a man doing anything to you. I think it is completely wrong that the NHS should be instructing or allowing staff to mislead patients to tell a straightforward lie. It is not acceptable, she added. In response to the rape, the NHS pledged to look into the situation but has appointed Dr. Michael Brady, an NHS LGBT advisor, who has vowed to maintain and strengthen trans rights, to the review. So they've got an activist to investigate this. And this is typical of all these situations. When they set up an inquiry, they'll have somebody that's actually linked to the situation, linked to whatever is going on, that will do the inquiry. It's like when Theresa May sets up an inquiry to look into Sharia law in Britain, and a Muslim is appointed to head it. And you've got this situation here where a biological male that presents as a female has raped a woman, and you've got an LGBT activist who is then going to investigate it, who has vowed to maintain and strengthen trans rights. So they're hardly going to be impartial there. Baroness Claire Fox has branded this appointee as the opposite of impartial due to his LGBT role, and further complained that the review is being carried out in secret. And that is the last that we actually heard of this. And as I say, it broke into the news in March of this year. Now, they're not just trying to tell us that men can give birth to children and change in the language. They're also now trying to say that it's transphobic to not want to date a trans woman. So it's transphobic to say that you don't want to get intimate with somebody who is male, who is biologically male. I mean, what are they saying here? Are they saying that a trans woman's penis is the same as the private parts of a woman, and if you say that it's not and you're not attracted to that sort of thing, you're transphobic, you're a hater? I mean, it's a horrific idea. That's effectively what they're saying, is that a penis is exactly the same as a vagina. Is it discriminatory to refuse to date a trans woman? The BBC has asked in a piece for the British broadcaster's trending platform. And this comes from a news article from 4 years ago. We know this has gone on since then. We've seen posters that are saying 99% of people wouldn't date a trans woman, and they're all transphobic and they're all haters. The BBC article followed a recent Celebrity Big Brother row, a reality television programme in which minor public figures are filmed 24/7 as they live together in a TV studio, in which US former singer Ginuwine turned down a kiss from fellow contestant India Willoughby, a TV journalist who recently transitioned from male to female. Asked by the 51-year-old ITV border reporter whether he would go out with a transsexual woman, Ginuwine replied, "I believe it's your choice, and I would choose not to." And that's been accused of being transphobic, because we're not just being asked to be polite to these people, we're being asked to literally believe that they are not the sex that they were born as, and even when they are still biologically intact, we're being expected to get intimate with them. And you can see why these lesbians are getting so upset about being told this with transgenders that are presenting as female, that are trying to get it on with these lesbians. But you've got the same situation with heterosexuals being expected to date and get intimate with biological men presenting themselves as women. And the same applies to these women that present themselves as men. Britain's public service broadcaster quotes Liad Timmins, a research associate at King's College London, who objects to being referred to as either him or her, who argues that it is transphobic to not want sexual contact with a transgender person. I don't think it's because people hate transgenders, or it's because they have a fear of transgenders. It's because they're not homosexual. It's because they don't want to have sexual contact with their own gender. And you have to call it gender, or their own sex. And he says he doesn't like to be referred to as either him or her. Well, what else are you going to call him then? I mean, obviously he's a biological male, and he's just trying to cause people problems when speaking about him, isn't he? He's just trying to be an individual, something different to everyone else. Sexual attraction is a response to stimuli that can be based on any number of things, for example, waist-to-hip ratio, certain behaviours, or breast size, said the psychology researcher, who argued it is possible that transgender individuals who swap gender very early on may look physically identical to a woman born female at a surface level. Well, no, they don't, because they have a different bone structure. They have different different hip structure, the waist-to-hip ratio that he's talking about here, the different hand size, different feet size. Sexual attraction is supposed to be to the opposite sex, because that's how you procreate, that's how you recreate yourself, and that is the same throughout the natural world. And if there is a sexual attraction to your own sex, then that in the natural world, that's because there's been some kind of confusion there. And if there's sexual attraction to your own sex in the human world, again, it's because there's some confusion there. There's some issue there where perhaps the person had an unusual amount of hormones that was released when they were in the womb, or perhaps they might have been molested, or perhaps they might have been born one of these hermaphrodites, and the doctors trained them and identified them in the gender that they shouldn't have been. All sorts of reasons, but it all boils down to some form of confusion. And sexual attraction is normally to the opposite sex. It's not based on breast size. If you see somebody who is obviously male that actually has large breasts, I mean, that is repulsive. And say, for instance, somebody is sexually attracted to a transgender because they are a very convincing one, say, and because they have, as it says here, a waist-to-hip ratio and breast size, but you're still not going to want to get intimate with them because you know that they are actually the same sex as you, and you know that you're just being deceived by the cosmetic issues. You're just being deceived by what's on the surface. Why would you want to be deceived? It doesn't mean you hate transgenders. It doesn't mean you're frightened of them. It just means that you want to stick with the programming that you have, the programming that all of the natural world has, but that we've decided we no longer have to go along with. Asserting that it is a question of philosophy rather than science, Dr. Timmins said, "So being unwilling to date on the basis of someone being trans rather than on the basis of individual stimuli is something I would personally call transphobic." So if somebody doesn't want to date someone because they have a penis and they don't actually have the genitalia that you would need in order to have a sexual relationship with them, that's because you hate trannies, is it? I mean, that's effectively what this Dr. Timmins is saying. To present the other side of the debate, the BBC went to Nigerian transgender awareness activist Miss Sahara, who said Genuine's comments did not seem to be motivated by prejudice, as he had looked to be engaged in a very comfortable conversation with India, but was tricked into transphobia by a biased media. "I do not want to call it transphobic. When someone is transphobic, they don't sit next to them," said the UK-based beauty pageant winner, adding that the singer's comments were characteristic of an ignorant person who has not been with a trans woman before. So they're supposed to be putting the other point of view across, and they're effectively saying that everybody who hasn't been with a trans woman is an ignorant person. And what do they mean by being with a trans woman? Well, they mean anal sex with somebody that more likely than not actually has a penis as well. That's what they're talking about. Most of these transgenders haven't gone for the full operation, because they know that if they do that, there's no going back. So they're effectively saying that anybody that hasn't experienced homosexual sex is an ignorant person and is transphobic. "It was more of an ignorance fed by a media that often depicts trans women in a sensationalized way with strong bone structure and husky low baritone voices," the Nigerian said, "blasting a so-called toxic masculinity, which makes people violent and rude about sexual attraction to trans women." Well, it's not normal to be attracted to somebody who has features of both genders. It's not normal to be attracted to hermaphrodite features, is it? If it was normal for that to happen, then we wouldn't procreate. We wouldn't reproduce ourselves, because we'd all be going with the same sex. Catholic Universe columnist Caroline Farrow, however, said she believes Willoughby's assertion of womanhood is merely a license to bully women, and accused the TV journalist of browbeating and intimidating anyone neglecting to embrace the ITV presenter as 100% female. And I don't know if this Willoughby is still biologically intact, but if somebody is biologically intact, then they are effectively still a biological male. And if you're a heterosexual, you're not going to be attracted to somebody that is the same sex as you. And you are going to know that they are, but by the physical signs. In a piece for The Conservative Woman, Farrow rejected the premise that women should welcome men who identify as women into a virtual sisterhood. She wrote, "If he thinks or says he's a woman, you have to suck it up, sister. Not only that, but you need to accept that you can no longer use words such as mother or refer to breastfeeding and menstruation and as being female functions. You must educate your daughters that their feminine duty is compassionate silence and acquiesce when faced with men who want to wear your clothes, buy your eggs, rent your womb, or better still, have you donated to them, trample all over your boundaries, and disregard your lived experience. And that just about sums it all up, doesn't it? If these people wish to have children, they have to rent somebody else's womb, and they have to get the law involved to try and get everybody else to go along with what they believe, to force everybody else to go along with their delusions that they can actually change their biology. That's the really sad thing about this, is the confusion that it's actually causing amongst people, the neurosis that it's causing amongst people, by telling everyone that something that we know instinctively is correct is actually wrong. You think what this does to children, when they're telling children that somebody that they went to school with and always knew as a boy is now a girl, and they know that it's still a boy, they know that it's a boy that's just wearing a frock, and yet they're told that they have to refer to this young boy that they used to be friends with and play football with, they have to start referring to them as a girl, and that they've actually changed into a girl. I mean, it's just causing so much confusion all the way throughout society, and not just confusion as we see here, but actually covering up for things like rape. And all of this goes back to really fundamental words like male and female is a fundamental difference, and removing that difference and trying to say that there is no difference between them, saying that you cannot discriminate between male and female. We have to say that they are all the same, and this is the result of it. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.